Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. Thank you for being with us on the program today. Numerous studies show that job stress continues to escalate among American adults. Feelings of unfulfillment, having little control, too many demands are quite common. Can you control stress, change negative thought patterns, redesign your life for the better? Well, speaker, writer, executive coach Denise Green says it's possible. In fact, for more than a decade, she has helped thousands feel less stressed and more in control. Her clients call her a mini Tony Robbins. After a successful career with Oracle Corporation and Charles Schwab, Denise founded Brilliance Inc., a coaching corporation whose purpose is to unleash human potential. She's the author of Work-Life Brilliance, Tools to Break Stress and Create the Life and Health You Crave. To help us turn burnout into brilliance, Denise Green joining us on This Week in America. Hi, Denise. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Rick. Thank you for having me, and thank you for that wonderful introduction.
I really enjoyed having a chance to read the book, and let's just say right in the beginning, this is not a typical work-life balance book, and you say in the beginning of the book, there's a sort of forget about work-life balance because most people you talk to, we really want more than balance, don't we?
We absolutely do, but we don't have the language for it. So my clients kept telling me they wanted work-life balance, and when I would ask them what does that look like to them, what they described was way more than balance, and what they thought of as traditional balance, I know won't make them happy, because it doesn't matter really how many hours you spend at work and how many hours you spend at home. It's how you spend those hours, how you spend those minutes and those moments that creates either a life of stress and regret or a life of potential.
I love in the cover of the book, you've got work life, then you've got balance crossed out and brilliance under that. Talk about brilliance, where you came up, how you came up with that term, and exactly what is brilliance?
Well, for me, it's all about the spark that is lit inside of all of us when we're born and that continues to shine and grow stronger as we learn and evolve. And then somewhere in our lives, for me, maybe it was around seventh grade, I'm not sure, but you all know that time when you start to just feel like that light is getting snuffed out just because of the pressures of school and of work and of social responsibilities. And now we've got the pressures of technology that it just feels like it's really hard to live into our potential. So for me, I wanted a word that would evoke that feeling that Jung talks about how we all have this inner flame inside of us. So for me, that's way bigger and way more important than figuring out how many hours you spend at home and in your car and at work.
And what's nice about that is brilliance. Yeah, you can lose it, but you can get it back. Your book is full of stories. One, Samantha, she comes to you, you meet after a workshop, and she's a people pleaser like so many, trying to make sure everybody's happy with what she's doing and everybody likes her. And she paid you a compliment after you got done working with her. Talk about her background and how she was able to basically to get her life back, to get that brilliant, that flame back.
Yeah, anybody can be a people pleaser. I find in my work that women tend to be more people pleasers, which makes sense, I think, because just sociologically speaking, women didn't really have official authority until very recently. And even now, it's hard for a lot of people to accept it. So they only could influence indirectly through relationships. So that meant, for all of us, we want to be loved, we want to be appreciated, we want to be in the tribe, because being kicked out of the tribe still to our brain means death. But for women in particular, I find that they overextend, they say yes when they don't want to, they go beyond their capacity, and then they find that they are living diminished lives. So in my workshops, I help people just see where they are right now, where they're out of sync. And Samantha took the work-life satisfaction assessment that's in the book and that anybody can get from the resources page of my website. And within 5 minutes, she had this huge epiphany that she was giving way more than she wanted to. She was feeling consumed with resentment, which she was tamping down and pretending to just be happy and friendly and enjoying giving everybody everything. And she realized she wasn't doing anybody any favors. And she was going to eventually not be able to hide her resentment.
And she came to you and she said, I got my mojo back. That's sort of, I guess, another way to look at brilliance. And you said that's one of the greatest compliments you ever had, because she got it. You turned her life around in a very short period of time by basically refocusing some.
That's right. And the other thing that she brought to me was she had a lot of physical distress. She wasn't sleeping well, which was abnormal for her. She, despite exercising every day and swimming every day, she wasn't losing weight. And I had a hunch that she had a lot of hormonal imbalances, perhaps adrenal fatigue. So I recommended she go to a holistic doctor. She figured it out. He got her on some supplements, some vitamins, and she ended up, without even trying, just taking these supplements. Within 5 days, she had her energy back. She was sleeping. She wasn't as fatigued. And then we could work better on her stress and managing her thoughts because her body was working better.
Denise Green, our guest on This Week in America. The book is Work-Life Brilliance, Tools to Break Stress and Create the Life and Health You Crave. Books available all around the country, wherever books are sold. Denise's website is brillianceinc.com. You can link on directly by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. You start the book talking about Rachel, who's a friend and a colleague. And if we think stress, maybe we can manage it. We have to deal with it. It's not quite that harmful. Talk about the damaging impact of stress, in this case, in Rachel's life, which is shocking, and then the transformation when she was able to get things in a proper perspective.
Yeah, she was a surprising one because she's not a yes person. She's very good at her job and very agreeable with people. She's very strong. And she had been for weeks and months trying to push back and ask for more help. But because perhaps she's so good and she's so strong that they didn't realize how serious it was. And neither did she. It's not in her to quit. So one day it just caught up with her, and during a leadership team meeting, she went into anaphylactic shock, and she managed to get herself to the emergency room in time, and they told her, there's nothing wrong with you except stress. And this was brought on by stress. Some people, my clients included, get autoimmune diseases, some get diabetes, some get heart attacks, some only get eye twitches. But we never know how stress is going to manifest in ourselves, and that was a wake-up call for her. And, you know, to her credit, she still didn't quit her job. She still didn't go on medical leave. But then she drew a hard line in the sand and says, I'm no longer going to do two jobs. I am going to delegate half of my job, and these are the pieces I'm going to take. And she knew that she could get away with making those demands because she was so good at her job, and now that she'd had this, you know, almost fatal thing happen to her, that people were going to take notice.
In the book, Work-Life Brilliance, you've got some steps for turning that burnout into brilliance. Tame your thoughts. This is one we all struggle with. We try to get the proper thoughts. We try to get rid of negative thoughts. We try to turn negative thoughts into positive thoughts. How do we go about doing that effectively?
You're right. A lot of us do struggle with it. Some people don't struggle with it because they just think negative thoughts all day and don't know that there's another way of doing it.
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about,
exactly,
right?
So yes, yes.
The first thing I want to say is that it's normal and it's unavoidable to have negative thoughts. It's the way our brains are wired for survival on the savannah. We have not had an upgrade since then, unfortunately, and we have 5 times as many neural processes for negative thinking as positive thinking. But it's unnecessary. We are not in primal danger anymore, so it's on us to really practice. And we can change that. We can change that percentage so that we have almost equal positive thoughts as negative thoughts, but it takes practice. And the more you practice upgrading thoughts, that is, taking a negative thought, noticing it, and then upgrading it to a thought that actually produces a positive emotion and that you can also believe, when you get in the practice of doing that, it becomes easier and easier, and that positive thought is not only more accessible, sometimes it's the first thing that comes to mind.
And you talk about cues that we can use, basically things that we do, routine things that we do in our daily lives to help us upgrade those thoughts. Give us a few of the cues that we can use to change our thought process on a daily basis.
Yeah, I'm so glad you asked that because so many of my clients just say, oh, okay, now that I know this technique, I'm going to do it every day. And I know they're not going to.
Exactly.
It's not that easy. You've got to have crutches. You've got to have tools. Even if it's a post-it note on your refrigerator or on your vanity mirror to remind you that every time you brush your teeth or every time you wash your hands, every time you do something common like touch a doorknob, put your key in your ignition, stop at a stoplight, you can decide. Just pick something that you do frequently, and every time you do it, you get to think about your thoughts, and you get to shift to a positive thought.
The book is called Work-Life Brilliance, Tools to Break Stress and Create the Life and Health You Crave. Denise Green, our guest on the program, speaker, writer, executive coach, founder of Brilliance, Inc. For more than a decade, she's helped thousands feel less stressed and more fulfilled. Just when we think, okay, we're going to make some progress, somebody asks us to do something, or we volunteer and we take on a new task. It's so hard to resist piling on more. You've got a great quote in the book from Warren Buffett, who says, the difference between successful people and really successful people is that really successful people say no to almost everything. How do we say no with grace and with no guilt? I'm taking notes here, so go slowly. I'm taking notes.
We can upgrade our thoughts and realize most of us think that when we say no, we're doing harm. But put yourself on the other side of that. Have you ever been in a situation where somebody said yes to you, but then they did not deliver?
Yes.
Would you have preferred that they told you no in the beginning?
And I think probably mumbled at some point along the way, if they just would have been honest and said no, then I could have compensated for it.
That's right. You would have figured it out.
Yes.
You would have figured it out. And that's what we want. We want the gift of no. There's another quote in the book from Gandhi about the gift of an early no is way better than, a late one. So first we need to just realize we're not doing harm. We're doing harm by overcommitting to things that aren't the best use of our time, and then undercommitting to those priorities in our life that we've been neglecting over and over. And that may be our family, saying yes too much to work, and then we're saying no to personal care and time with our family, saying yes to technology. So there's a 6-step process that I use. I don't know if we have time to cover it all, but it involves just being clear. You don't even have to say the word no. You can say, I'm sorry, I can't do it. I didn't say the word no, but you know absolutely that I cannot do it. And then you can give a reason that is important to the other person. So, for example, I always use this example. If I have to take my dog to the vet, and incidentally, I had to cancel a radio interview once because I was up all night at the emergency room because my dog got bit by a wasp in his mouth. And as I decided, God, I have to cancel. I'm just going to be in no state. What reason am I going to give? Well, I didn't know if the radio producer had dogs. I didn't know if that was important, but I didn't want to lie. So I said I was up in the emergency room all night, and I'm not going to be any good for you. Let's reschedule. Totally understood it. It's the truth. And then later I found out they had dogs, and we had a great conversation about dogs and health.
Yes.
And, weird things. But, you know, people will accept almost any reason, and there's always something that people can relate to that's the truth. So share that, and then if appropriate, you can offer something in return. So in my case, I offered to do it in another time that was convenient for them. But you can over-offer, and then this whole thing goes haywire, and you might as well have just said yes in the first place.
Exactly, yes.
The trick is to know, okay, maybe my offer is, I know somebody else who can do it. Would you like me to connect you? All right, that doesn't take a lot of my time, and you're going to appreciate that.
Some of the great tips you'll find in the book, Work-Life Brilliance, Tools to Break Stress and Create the Life and Health You Crave. With us, the author, Denise Green. Time going way too quickly in the program. You talk a lot about brilliant relationships, the importance of relationships. And we throw out their relationships, and I'm thinking people. That's what you're talking about, and you are. But you're also talking about the relationship with technology, and you point out that we've got great advantages because of technology. But we've created this constantly on environment. Talk about that, because we always feel compelled. I'm going to check emails one more time before I go to bed tonight.
Right.
How do we cope with that? How do we deal with that? It's reality now, unfortunately, for many people.
Right. Well, like we talked about rituals earlier for habit change and thinking, you need rituals for technology. Because if you just rely on willpower, it's not going to happen. Just last weekend, I was on vacation with some friends, and I downloaded an app called Checky, which will tell you at the end of the day, a little window pops up and tells you how many times you checked your phone. Now, that's the kind of app that can help us.
Yes.
And then remove apps that are distracting from your phone. Remove the news app from your homepage. Remove Facebook. I literally can't even log on to Facebook from my phone. And I like it that way. If I really want to go on Facebook, I have to go to my computer, which I do about once every 2 months, because I know it's not a priority of mine. It's a time suck. So do I miss some things? Yeah, but I promise you, my friends will tell me when they see me in person. So
yeah, and your real friends, too.
My real friends, right. The app designers are not going to change. In fact, they're going to get better and better at addicting us. They know how the brain works. They know how to get dopamine hits every time you go into their app. So it's on us to overrule the technology, so we're using technology instead of technology using us.
I love there's an app to tell you you're using too many apps. I love that. That was certainly one that we need to have and should go to the homepage for whenever instrument you're logging on. A couple minutes left of the program. You talk about this state that many of us find ourselves in. We're not quite at the point where we're burned out. We're certainly not at brilliant, but we're blah. That's sort of what a purgatory situation. How difficult is it to go from blah to brilliant?
Well, it depends on how you go about it. You know, if you are chasing the wrong things, like you think, well, so-and-so seems to have a good life, I'm going to do what she does. Maybe, but is it in alignment with your values? That's why I have people do the life satisfaction assessment. And then we see right away, oh, well, this is why you're in blah. You value this in your life so much, but you're doing nothing about it. Or we do the should-do exercise where I have them brainstorm for 30 seconds all the things they tell themselves on a regular basis they should do, but they're not doing. And they feel horrible after this exercise, but then we do the life satisfaction exercise, and they come up with one thing, and it's somewhere on that list of shoulds, one thing that if they did it, it would make a huge difference in their life. You know, as an example, for me, I had on my list of should-dos write a book. For years and years and years. Finally, I did the exercise and I dropped that goal because I was so sick. I was getting a divorce. I was moving. I had Lyme disease. I had mold poisoning. There was no way I could write a book. And then I got out of that space, which was pretty much a burnout space. And then I was in more of a blah space. And I realized now is the time for me to finally do that thing that I've been having on my list of things to do forever, it felt like. And I got to tell you, when you go into something that has such value for you and that will give you such a payout in terms of the vision you've set for yourself, you can't help but be in flow. And when you're in flow, you don't feel blah anymore.
You talk about, I'm going to take 2 minutes here at the end, confidence. And the one thing as I'm reading the section on confidence, it's something that you can help change, improve certainly almost instantly. Something as simple as smiling or making eye contact. And you're improving your confidence.
It's true. I bet a lot of your listeners have watched Amy Cuddy's famous TED Talk, where she has the phrase, fake it until you become it. And her Harvard research, where they had people take a certain posture, and then they took their blood, and they measured the testosterone, the cortisol, and all the other hormones, and they found that simply by taking a powerful pose, like a Superman or a Wonder Woman pose, or sitting back in a chair with your arms up and your feet on the table, would increase your confidence-related hormones. Smiling is the same thing. When you smile, you feel happier. Whether it was a fake smile or not, you can just put a pencil in your mouth and force a smile, and your body will feel happier. So hold your chin up, put your shoulders back, smile, make eye contact, take a deep breath, and your body is going to start to produce confidence.
Now, we talked before about a to-do list and that people do that. And I find myself like, okay, I've got these 14 things and I get to two, then I feel guilty because I didn't get to the rest of those. How do we upgrade the to-do list and really approach each day strategically rather than just throw everything out there we think we should do? Let's do it with some coherent pattern.
That's a great question. And so first, you got to create space to do this because, believe it or not, creating a to-do list is one of the most energy-consuming acts you can do because prioritizing your day means you're stepping on so many landmines. Who am I going to disappoint? What hard thing am I going to finally tackle today? So make sure you have energy for it. You do it first and do it before email because reading email is one of the second most stressful things we can do because of all the unexpectedness in it and the feeling of lack of control. So what I do is every morning after I do a little meditation app, that's the first app I look at in the morning, I sit down with my notebook and I think, what are the biggest projects I've got going on? What are the must-dos under those projects? And who must I hear from or must I reach out to? And then I open email and I only look for those people's names. And if I don't have anything from them, I'll reach out, touch base, close email, and go into project number one. The thing that if I did it for 45 minutes, I would feel so much better about my day. And I would have that that weight off my chest, that guilt off. And then if I don't get to the other little menial things on my list, that's fine. Most of us cram our day with menial things, other people's things, and then we don't get to the big things. And that's why we feel guilt and shame.
Denise Green, our guest on This Week in America. The book is Work-Life Brilliance, Tools to Break Stress and Create the Life and Health You Crave. Interesting, because what you talk about is doable and attainable, and I think we've accomplished that in the few minutes we've had together on the program. One thing I take away in the book is small changes can lead to big results. If you think it's too small, chances are it's not, and it's going to have some significant impact, isn't it?
Well, in fact, you have to start small, because if you try and start big, your brain will freak out, and it'll pull you back into old habits. So start small and make incremental improvements as you feel like you've mastered the current task and it feels easy.
Denise Green with us, Work-Life Brilliance, Tools to Break Stress and Create the Life and Health You Crave. I mentioned all the people you work with as a personal coach. I imagine people come to you maybe when they're close to the breaking point. Is that the case? And you have to feel some satisfaction when you're able to help them put their lives back in proper perspective.
Absolutely. And there's a lot of variety in terms of when people come to me. I get a lot of people coming when they're in a state of blah. I don't think I've ever had somebody in a state of brilliance come to me, even though part of the reason they are so brilliant is because living so brilliantly is because they have a coach. And oftentimes it's the manager, the leader in an organization, who comes to me and asks me to support somebody on, because it's a really high-performing person, but they're worried. They're worried the person might leave. They're worried the person's working too hard, or the person's developing a bad attitude suddenly, and we need to turn this around. So there's a variety, but yes, you're right. Few people get coaching early enough.
You know, so often you see young children and you envy them. Boy, it must be nice to have the world in front of them. They can do whatever they want. They can block out whatever they want. And you're basically saying what that brilliance that we see in children, we may have lost, but we can recover. We can get that back.
Absolutely. And, you know, the sad thing is, I think children are getting piled on earlier in life because of all the pressures and because of technology.
Technology, yes.
Right? So I think it's really important that we watch our kids and we help support our kids, because they are suffering. They're under tremendous stress, and I'm not sure what the age is. We could probably do a poll, informally do a poll on the playground. But right, how do we get back to that, and how do we keep our kids from getting burned out?
Work-Life Brilliance, an excellent book, Tools to Break Stress and Create the Life and Health You Crave. Denise Green has been our guest, author of the book, speaker, writer, executive coach, and founder of Brilliance, Inc. A lot of great information available at the website. You can take the Brilliant Life Assessment Survey, get all that information there as well. Book is available all across the country. And, of course, you can link on directly to Denise's website by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Denise, a pleasure to have you on the program. I loved having a chance to read Work-Life Brilliance and to talk about it with you. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Rick. It's been my pleasure.
You're listening to This Week in America, website thisweekinamerica.us.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.